body pressed against me as he claimed my lips over and over. I ran my hands through his hair while he lifted himself off me and lay down beside me. I raised my right hand, examining the exquisite ring he'd given me. Engaged. That's what I am now. I was still in shock. One minute I had been dancing with Caleb, and the next he had gone down on one knee and pulled out a ring. It all felt so surreal. He turned on his side and pulled me closer to him until my nose was barely an inch away from his. "Rose Achilles," he said softly. His voice and the way he looked at me made my nerves tingle. My body heated up. I pressed myself closer against him, as close as I could get. I felt his chest tense as I kissed his jawline. I nuzzled my head against him. "And how long do I have to wait until you make me fully yours?" I asked in a whisper. He placed his hand over my forehead, tilting my head back so he could look me directly in the eye. He smiled, then sat up abruptly, pulling me up with him. My heart raced as he held me in his arms and stood up. Expecting him to start running toward our cabin, I reached for his shirt and began unbuttoning it. To my disappointment, he headed in the opposite direction, toward the beach. Once we had exited the port and arrived just a few feet away from the beginning of the waves, he put me down. He held my hands in his, bending his head down to face me. I looked up at him, my eyes wide with expectation, even though I'd already guessed the words he was about to speak.
"We have waited this long already. I think we should wait for our wedding night."
My stomach sank. "We could do that," I said, trying to hide my disappointment. "Or we could go back to our room now." His smile broadened.
"It will be all the more special if we wait," he said.
He leaned toward me, brushing his lips against my neck before whispering into my ear.
"I promise."
"And how long until our wedding?" I asked.
"Your guess is as good as mine," he said. "I don't think anyone on this island is up for another wedding while the threat of Lilith remains hanging over everyone."
I sighed. "I know. Yet another reason for wanting to end that hag as soon as possible." "Speaking of Lilith," I said, "I wonder if Mona might have returned by now." We began making our way back toward the residences. We'd almost reached them when Caleb stopped.
"I hear voices coming from the Great Dome," he said.
"Let's head there." We arrived outside the Great Dome and pushed open the doors. Sitting around the long table were my parents, grandfather, uncle and aunt, and all the members of our council except for Claudia and Yuri. I was relieved to spot Mona sitting next to Keev. Caleb and I sat down in the nearest spare seats.
"What is happening?" I asked.
"Caleb," Mona said, ignoring my question,
"do you know of a man, a vampire called Magnus?"
"Magnus?"
Caleb said, looking surprised.
"Magnus who?"
"We don't know," she replied. "But a vampire named Magnus is the key to ending Lilith once and for all. I know only a little about the man from accessing Lilith's memories with the help of a potion. I just spent an hour trying to access more, but it seems I've already witnessed all that she unwittingly shared with me."
"I did know of a Magnus," Caleb said slowly. "Wasn't he a child of the elders? I saw him briefly in Kruor."
Mona's eyes widened.
"You knew a vampire named Magnus in Kruor?"
"I didn't know him. He wasn't a prisoner there like the rest of us were. He was a child of the elders. He was freer than us, more privileged. He could come and go as he pleased, or so it seemed. I never talked much with him." "It must be the same Magnus," Keev said. "There can't have been two children of the elders named Magnus. Do you know what happened to him, Caleb?"
Caleb shook his head.
"I remember him because there was a short period when he brought us blood every day. Then he just stopped coming and was replaced by someone else. I have no idea what happened to him."
"Well, none of this helps us," Xavier said. "It would have been a long time ago that Caleb saw him there. And he left.